Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
LeBron may have just taken his own shot at Kyrie. While talking about his relationship with Anthony Davis, LeBron said they worked together so well because, quote, we're not jealous of one another. A lot of people read between the lines on that due to the fact that Kyrie once requested a trade out of Cleveland because he reportedly wanted to be more of the focal point on the team. So, Shannon, do you consider this a shot to Kyrie?
Yes, true, too. Everybody knows it. There's no secret about that. Kyrie felt that after making that shot, that he was on the level of LeBron. And he deserved the perks and the benefits that LeBron got while he was in the Cavaliers organization. Kyrie felt he should get those same privileges and same benefits. And when they weren't afforded it to him, he became resentful of LeBron. I don't really know how else to say it, Skip. And winning tandems can't be jealous of each other. There's a reason why Kareem and Magic were able to get five titles together, Skip, because although Kareem was established and here's this new kid on the block, hey, Magic still to this day refers to Kareem as captain. He doesn't call him Kareem, he called him Cap.
Cap.
that's what he called. But see, the difference between Scotty and Mike, Scotty never believed that he was on Mike's level. So it's easier, Skip.
Maybe near the end, he started.
Yes, but as long as I feel like he's better than me, Skip, he's just better than me.
Yep.
You can do that. But once you think, Skip, there's something that caused Shaq and Kobe to go awry. Yeah. It's as simple as that. There's something that even after 20 years, that Coach Belichick and Tom Brady says, you know what, enough is enough. Mm. You go your way, I'm going mine. Something happened. Skip, what happened here is that Kyrie wanted what LeBron had, and he felt he was an equal player. Now, Skip, if you notice now, when KD and Kyrie became close, where did it transpire at? At the Olympics. What had just happened? Kyrie had hit the shot in the finals. He's a champion. KD had just lost a 3-1 lead. So now, at that point in time, Kyrie thinks he's on KD's level as a player. So he's talking to him like, bro, you know, we here, you know, we yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
We on LeBron level. Mm. No, bro. Skip, you can be a great player, but there's levels to greatness. And LeBron is a step above. LeBron is there's a room that only a handful of guys have a key to. LeBron has that key. Kyrie does not. LeBron made it abundantly clear. I was well aware of Kyrie's comments when I made my comments.
He did. I wasn't sure of that, but I'm glad you brought that up. That Dave McMenamin wrote on ESPN that LeBron was definitely aware, because I wasn't sure he was. So to your first point, mm-hmm. definitely a shot back over the bow of Kyrie. We're not jealous of each other.
Yeah.
Okay, so neither mentioned the other's name in their blast that they took, but they didn't need to because everybody knows what's up.
I like how LeBron did it, Skip, because LeBron already knew what he wanted to say. LeBron paused with it and like he had to think. He like, let me think. Why are me and AD having success? You already know what we haven't said. Jealousy.
We're not jealous of each other.
Yep.
Okay, now I'm going to give you my perspective on this. They are not. In large part because Anthony came from New Orleans with nothing to show for it. It wasn't like he had won anything in New Orleans. Remember, his regular season record in New Orleans was 216 and 250. So he was Giannis-like to me in that he was a PER prince, that player efficiency rating.
Yes.
He would be near the top or at the top every year, with nothing to show for it in the playoffs to speak of. He had a couple of moments here and there. All we knew was he was wildly gifted. Mm-hmm. He was a two-guard in a, what do we call him, 6'10"? He's a two-guard in a 6'10 body.
Right.
Because he's got all kinds of guard skills, three-point shooting skills, handle skills.
Mid-range.
And he can go inside and do that stuff, too. He can play really big or really small.
Correct.
Okay, well, that's supremely talented. Where you've got it all going on, except Charles Barkley keeps pointing out, does he have that dog in him? Does he have that killer mentality? Charles says no. Well, I believe LeBron in his heart of hearts saw that there's not that killer mentality. LeBron has done a phenomenal leadership job of making AD his pet project, becoming a big brother to him, but also becoming a close friend of his, where they hang together.
Right.
Any practice ends with them leaving together. They arrive together often.
They walk pretty much walk out. If one's doing the interview, Skip, they wait in the tunnel, and then they walk up the tunnel together.
That's a great job by LeBron James.
Yes.
But clearly, to me, he's the alpha in the relationship. Because Anthony, this is all new to him. He's just happy to be a Laker in Los Angeles. Oh, wait, I'm in the finals. This is great to me.
Skip. But you talk about Kyrie. You do realize Kyrie before LeBron was known for lotteries.
Okay, I got it. Kyrie Irving thinks he's the best.
Yes!
Okay, I'm not sure AD thought he was the best coming in. It's like he's sort of tiptoeing into the situation. Oh, this is great. LeBron propped him up, reinforced him, and made him believe that I think AD now thinks I'm actually better than LeBron. I can do things even LeBron can't do, which is great for this relationship.
He needs to think like that.
They've been very fortunate so far because there has been no trial or tribulation. They have faced no real edge-of-the-cliff adversity that LeBron has faced often in various playoff scenarios. When you're game six at Boston in 2012, you're down 3-2 at Boston.
Right.
That's edge of the cliff. You got to show some true colors there. Right. And that night, 45-15, LeBron did.
Right.
Okay, so my point is, this new relationship, and it's still pretty new, show me where it's faced real adversity in the playoff run, because I think this has been LeBron's easiest path to the finals.
Well, I think the thing also, Skip, is that when you look at it, is that, yeah, they had a little adversity. I think they lost like 3 straight games in the regular season. But there's nothing like the playoffs, as you mentioned, being down 2-1, being down 3-2 or something like that, where it's do or die. But I think the thing is that when AD missed that shot against the Nets, and you could tell AD was down because he probably was like, man, I ain't gonna get a better look at a shot. And LeBron says, I'm not even worried about it, because if that same situation were to arise, I'm gonna pass him the ball again. Now, they went back and practiced that very shot the next day. They showed the footage, AD nailed it. And lo and behold, what happened come playoff time? Almost to the very spot that he missed it in a bigger moment. I think that's when it, because sometimes it takes moments for you to realize, you know what? What they've been saying is true. I am that dog. I am him. I am legit. And LeBron reinforces it. Skip, it's one. Skip, I thought I was a good player, but it wasn't until John Elway. Do you realize how special you are?
Sure, I got that.
Shannon, do you see how easily?
7th round draft.
Right. He said, and Skip, you know, I'm just trying to play my part. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I'm doing my job. When he told me, he's like, you don't. The ease in which you run routes and you catch the ball and the way you can accelerate and decelerate. And I'm thinking to myself and I'm looking at him, man, John Elway just told me I'm special. Mm. Okay, I'm special. Skip, that's LeBron James. Mm. When LeBron James tells you you're special, what do you think that's done for Caruso? Because LeBron James tell Caruso, hey, I love his cerebral mind. I love the way he plays the game. Mm. Skip, that ain't just some Joe Schmo telling you that now. Mm. That's LeBron James. That's GOAT James telling you.
Okay, but I'm going to remind you, they haven't had that kind of adversity that can reveal flaws in the relationship. LeBron hasn't been pushed to the edge of the cliff where, and he's done this before, where he'll quietly tell the media, well, I did my part, but the kid didn't do his part.
Well, we know that game three, mm-hmm. when they tried to give it Kyrie down the stretch. You remember the one that got, LeBron, that KD hit?
Yep.
Can you tell the people what Kyrie did down the stretch here on the clutch moments? Mm. 0-7 from the three. Mm. That's what he was.
And who hit that shot in game seven?
Uh-huh.
Won LeBron his best ring?
Skip. You don't want to talk about that 0-6-0 run that we went on by ourselves, huh?
Okay.
And that three-pointer that was in there. So you don't want to talk about that, Skip.
I have seen LeBron go sit away from his team in the break before overtime of game one at Oakland in the 2017 NBA Finals after he turned down the last shot and passed the ball to George Hill.
And did you see what Kyrie did in Boston? When he alienated his entire teammates, did you see what he did in Brooklyn when he said this guy and that guy? And now what he's talking about, we don't need a coach. We ain't got, it's going to be a collaborative difference. Mm. It's going to be KD coaching one day. It's going to be, really? Mm. KD said he didn't even want to skip. KD said he wanted no parts in leadership. How the hell are you going to coach without being a leader? Mm. That's what a coach is first. Okay. He has to lead men.
Okay, but I warned AD before the year started, be careful, because a lot of players have found it's really hard to play with him because the media is quick to leap on that guy. It's your fault. It can't be LeBron's fault. What did Kevin Durant say? Fanboy media. Yeah. The fanboy media will say, AD didn't hold up his end of the bargain. And it almost started in game number one. Remember, Anthony Davis goes scoreless in the fourth quarter against the Clippers.
Yeah, and guess what, Skip? The reason why it's so hard to play with LeBron, the same reason it was hard to play with Magic, and the same reason it's hard to play with Jordan and Larry Bird, because regular season does not matter. They're defined by championships. They're defined by playoff runs. And if you don't play well, that's why Paul George did not want to go to the Lakers. He ain't fooling nobody, Skip.
I would buy
because
that.
That pressure was not going to be the same in OKC and the Clippers as there.
And their backs have been to the wall when during this playoff run? None.
Hey, Skip, when you're great, your back don't get to the wall. Mm. You always in an advantageous. You don't have to back yourself into a corner.
When you dodged the bullet that was the Clippers, you got the ultimate.
I'm sorry you were a dud. Mm. I'm sorry you didn't fire, Skip. I don't know what it was. Maybe the wick was damaged. Maybe they didn't put enough dynamite, gunpowder in the dynamite. Whatever the case may be.
So Anthony Davis is like the proverbial kid in candy store. He is so happy right now. Did you see what he said yesterday? Why don't we just do this 9 more times, me and LeBron together? Nine more times?
No, he said, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And they even tried to say, AD, is there anything that LeBron's have that you're jealous of? Really? He said, nah, but maybe the rings. Mm. I want one of that. But he kept his promise. He told me he's going to get me a ring. So far, he kept that promise to me.
So AD's saying, this is so easy. I just want to keep doing it for 9 more years.
AD.
I'm so happy.
I would love for that to happen also, but I don't believe Gold James is going to be able to give you 9 more years. Mm. I believe he can give you 3. And 2 for sure is still a top 5 player. I don't know about 5, 6.
It's very easy not to be jealous of each other when you're on the easiest path to a ring.
There you go, Skip. You see, that's not with Skip. I would agree with you. Had you said that at the beginning of the season, you said this was going to be LeBron James' most challenging time until your guys gagged. Mm. Your guys gagged. Now you want to talk about it's easy. Mm. If it was so easy, why aren't the Clippers here?
Mm. Well, they were looking. The whole year was based on we will beat the Lakers in the conference.
What you looking for?
Finals.
What you looking for? What you worried about? What got in my house? What you worried about this? Oh, you signed it. Ooh, look at Marcus Barnes. We got Reggie Jackson. We got Landry Shamet. Mm-hmm. We got Joakim Noah.
Yep.
Oh, you just love it all today. Oh, just over the Kiki Kid. Oh, the King. Oh, Pat Bev.
So were the odds makers.
Hold on. What Pat Bev say? Oh, it's over for y'all. Mm. Oh, it's over for y'all.
Yep.
I ain't heard Pat Bev. Oh, he told Steph Curry, it's our time. Last 5 years, now it's our time. I ain't heard Pat Bev say the word.
No mercy.
We are joined now by Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick. Michael, what shot do you give Cam in the Patriots against the Chiefs this weekend?
But they got a shot. It's always a 50-50 chance that anything can happen, and the New England Patriots could be the first team to upset the Kansas City Chiefs this season, but a couple of things are going to have to happen. The defense is going to have to come to play, and unfortunately for the Pats, there's only one Stephon Gilmore on the field. The other corner, left or right side, opposite of Gilmore, is going to have to step up tremendously and try to somehow, some way, lock down the trio of receivers that the Kansas City Chiefs has that pretty much ran right through the Baltimore Ravens last week. And the Baltimore Ravens had a great secondary. And I watched them go up and down the field with ease. And it was because of the speed that they possessed, the route combinations, and the play calling of Andy Reid that made that game so difficult. But in terms of the New England Patriots, ball control is going to be essential, whether it's Cam or running back by committee. They're going to have to control the clock, keep the Chiefs off the field as much as they can, and try to score as many points as they can. But I think the biggest key in this game is just winning the game time and possession, not letting Patrick Mahomes get out and be as dangerous and a threat as he's going to be, because you can't stop Patrick. You can only hope to contain him. Andy's going to let him loose. And, you know, as a team, you really got to find that rhythm early if you're the New England Patriots. And I think that's going to be in the run game. They have to control the clock. They have to control the time of possession and keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline next to Andy Reid.
It is not just about time of possession and ball control. You're going to have to get touchdowns. You can't control the ball for 5-6 minutes, Skip, Mike, and then kick a field goal, because the likelihood of you winning a game in their building 20-17, 17-14 is not likely to happen. They just put so much pressure on your offense. Now, if they're going to run the football like they ran it last week against the Raiders, and if they're going to capitalize that at the end of those possessions and give you touchdowns, okay, they're going to have an outstanding chance. Because as you mentioned, the likelihood of them slowing that offense down isn't very good. And listen to Eric Bieniemy, Skip. When he threw that touchdown to the fullback, Sherman, Eric Bieniemy did not know he threw that underhand. He said, that's not the way we drew it up. That's not the way we practiced it. But that just goes to show you how much confidence this kid
is. I thought it was the way he drew it up.
This shows you how much confidence this kid is playing with. He's on another level. He's feeling so confident that, you know what, I can do no wrong. He is yet to throw an interception in September with all those touchdowns. And so and Andy, for some reason, Skip, since he's been back in Kansas City, we remember that job he did on that Thursday night when the Patriots coming off that Super Bowl. That was the coming out party of Kareem Hunt when he rushed for 100 and almost had and caught for 100.
Yep, at Foxborough.
Yeah. And so every time we see them putting up these big, ginormous numbers, even the game that they lost up in Foxborough, it was what, a 43-40 ball game? The AFC Championship game was like a what?
Shootout.
A 36-30 or something like that ball game. Where the Patriots scored in overtime. So even when he's had better defenders, when he had all those defenders, Andy's been able to move the ball against them. So now they don't have nearly the defense. It's going to be incumbent upon Cam to control this game, and cap it off with touchdowns instead of field goals, or this thing could get out of hand in a hurry.
Mm. So it doesn't sound to me like either you guys give the Patriots much of a chance. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, it's George Belichick, so he's always going to come and got something up his sleeve. But would I be surprised if Kansas City won by 7 to 10 points? No.
So you think they
and
can
And I always feel
you.
Like... Yeah.
Go ahead,
I always feel like Bill Belichick is going to bring some type of recipe defensively that's going to keep him around, but it's going to be up to the offense to score points, like Shannon said. The defense will be able to sustain, but like I said, you can only contain Patrick for so long. You know, he's going to get off.
Because remember, Skip, not to cut you off, Skip. Okay, last week he controlled Waller. Okay, you take Travis Kelce. What you going to do with Reek and Miko Hardman?
Okay, but trust me, Belichick will take away Kelce first.
Okay.
Because it's your security blanket. Just take it away.
Okay.
You can't have Travis Kelce and hope Gilmore can somehow hang with Tyreek, which he probably... It's just too much speed. It's track speed.
And then you got Hardman, who's 4-3-3 on the other side.
I got it. Okay. I'm in a tricky spot on this game. I will either qualify or disqualify myself. I'm rooting against Shannon Sharp because we have a big bet that Tampa Bay will win more games than Belichick will win this year. So I need the Chiefs. I'll be honest with you. I will go ahead and pick the Patriots, but... I mean, I'm sorry, pick the Chiefs. But I think the Patriots have a real shot here.
Okay.
The harder I look at it, the better it gets for New England. I just like the way Cam is playing. He's playing some of his best all-around football of his career. It just feels right to me.
Right.
And I'm afraid of it because I've got that bet with you.
Right.
His offensive line is playing at an extremely high level. Pro Football Focus loves that offensive line. It's got a second in pass blocking and fourth in run blocking.
Right.
They lead the league in rushing. I know it's a small sample size, but they lead it at 178 yards a game. I believe they can go in there, as both of you guys suggest, and do what Parcells used to say, shorten the game.
Mm-hmm.
Just control the football. As Michael said, it's just you got to win the clock. You just... And they are highly capable of winning the clock because you have three real threats. You got Sony Michel. You got Rex Burkhead, who should not be underestimated in this game. He's played big against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game.
Game-winning touchdown.
Right? And you've got Cam. Mm-hmm. And not that I think Cam's going to run for 100, but if he gets 50 or 60 key yards, it's just hard. You can't get the man down.
He might have rushes like he had against Miami. He might run the ball 10 to 15 times.
He just might have to.
Yeah.
Okay? So then on the back end, can they stand up? Maybe strategically they can if they take Kelce away, because they took Darren Waller out of the game.
Yes.
Like I thought they'd handle him, but I didn't think they'd just nix him, you know, like just blank him out.
Yep.
But, okay, so the point is that I believe this is the perfect spot for New England to go there because they're coming off the game of the year on Monday Night Football, right?
Yep.
And they played great. They massacred their rival, you know, growing, budding rival in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And so here they are. They're going home for a New England team that doesn't have Tom Brady anymore, so it's hard to sort of get as up for them as you did for Tom Brady, right? Okay, so I'm not going to pick it because I'd be picking against myself, but I'm not going to be shocked if New England pulls this game off because all the ingredients are there for an upset to me.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that Andy Reid understands what Coach Belichick represents and what his teams know how they normally play. So they won't look past this team because who knows? This might be a team I have to see down the road, Skip. And if I see them down the road, I still want to plant that seed. Y'all know what we did to y'all. And who knows if they're going to let fans at some point back into the stadium. Yeah. I think they're going to have probably another 15,000 fans at this point. But as the season progresses, who knows? That might get up to 30,000, 40,000. And 30,000 fans in Arrowhead, 40,000 fans, that could be a big difference. So I want you to come to my I understand, Skip. It's still not the same what I but I still want you to come to my building.
Yep.
If we play in the playoffs, come see me.
Okay. So I want to get Michael's input on this. Cam said a couple days ago, I'm such a different person now. And it stopped me in my tracks like, really? Because I see the same Cam. I don't know about you, but I see fun-loving. Yeah. He's letting his charisma and his charm just flow out of him, right?
Right.
Taking over practice, taking over the locker room, taking over the sideline. Yet, I think I know what he's talking about. And I hate this word humbled because if you say Cam got humbled, I think that hits you. It flips your switch because it comes across like the NFL's white establishment finally broke him, right? And I despise that insinuation also because that's not what's happening here. What did happen to Cam Newton was he had to face his football mortality. Mm-hmm. He got cut. He just sat on the market for 3 months because he was a little broken down. Was he had three surgeries?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are saying
two shoulders and his foot.
Yeah. Are you done? Can you bounce back from this? So he keeps talking to New England about nothing's promised. I have to come in here early and stay late every day because I don't know if no day is promised here.
Right.
So he's acting like this is value to me. Like he took it for granted, obviously. In Carolina, he's the first pick in the draft and the MVP, right?
Yes.
So, Michael, give me some input on that. What are you seeing in Cam from a distance that speaks to I'm such a different person now?
Skip, let's not sugarcoat it, babe.
You
said it correctly, man. The word humble has some significant meaning with what Cam is going through right now. And it's humble in a good way. It's humble in a sustainable way to where Cam can function for the next, 8 years of his career, his long-lived career, and be happy about it. I have a different understanding and a true appreciation for where he's come from. And, Cam wasn't playing his best. Cam had injuries. And then, like you say, Cam was all of a sudden, cut by the Carolina Panthers. And it was some humble pie for Cam. So Cam had to, hit the reset button, step outside of himself, and look at himself from the external and say, what can I do better? What didn't I do right? Obviously the injuries, but that comes along with football. What about my play? What about myself? He's always been a fun-loving person. Every time I've ever been around Cam, I enjoy every second of it because he comes in and he gravitates to everyone and he absorbs the room. That's just how he is, the big 6'5 presence, and it's God-given. But at the same time, when you're talking about football and your profession is something that you love, you can be humble when it's taken away from you. I dealt with it in Philly, and it motivated me to come back and be the best and focus on every detail and try to be the best that I could be on any given situation down in distance. And most importantly, not disappoint my coaches. And that's what Cam is striving off of right now. I think he don't want to, disappoint Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, the people who are taking a chance on him, and show him that I'm the guy long term. It's not all about me. I'm team oriented, and we can make this happen. So it's great to see. And yes, Cam has been humble, and it comes in all different forms. And I think it just happened at the right time for him.
Well said.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to let the people down that believed in you. So no matter what. Yep. That was the only Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, Mr. Kraft, they were the only organization that believed Cam Newton could help their organization. So you don't want to do anything that's going to let them down. So you're going to come early to make sure you're prepared. You're going to stay late to make sure you're overprepared and to put the best foot forward to say, you know what, there are a lot of other teams that could have used the Cam Newton, but you know what, y'all bought into the hype that I'm a distraction, my antics, the way I dress. One team looked past that and looked at the player on the field, and they're reaping the rewards of that.
And the cool part is that they're still allowing Cam to be Cam, and
yes,
everybody's enjoying it.
Yes.
So it's meshing right now.
Yep.
No mercy.
It didn't take long for Doc Rivers to get another job after parting ways with the Clippers. Doc has agreed to a 5-year deal with the 76ers and will now be tasked with getting Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons over the hump in the East. Doc's one NBA title, of course, came in the East with the Celtics. So, Shannon, can you see Doc winning the East with Embiid and Simmons?
I do. I cannot. The East is getting better. Giannis is going to get better. Who knows what the moves they're going to make. Heat are up and coming. Boston is young. They're going to get better. I just think Kemba was kind of nicked at the end of the year. That's why they started resting him down the stretch, Skip, and he never regained that in the bubble. But Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, they got the makings of a really good team. Nets now have KD and Kyrie, and they're probably going to have Caris LeVert. The question is, I think one of the reasons Doc was hired, Skip, is that they believe he can get through to Joel Embiid. Joel, you need to take it serious. You bull jiving. Who you kidding? You're not in shape. You make it up the court 2 times and you're tired. You last guy up the court. You're not training. You don't take your training serious. You don't take your nutrition serious. You don't take the game serious. You bull jiving. You're fooling yourself. It's hard for me to see how you can take the next level until Ben Simmons can shoot a jump shot. Skip, how can I say, man, he could be a great pitcher if he can just locate the ball? What kind of bull job is that, Skip? You're a basketball player. At some point in time, you're the point guard, and you're not going to shoot no jump shots. I just don't see it. I don't like the pairing, Skip. I really don't. But Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons needs to work on a shot and feel comfortable enough in the game to shoot it. Joel Embiid needs to take training, take nutrition serious. Take the game serious. And he can't be missing 20 games a year, Skip. He'll play 2 games and then he's out a week. He'll play 5 games and then he's out 4 games. That's unacceptable. So can I see them winning the East? No. To make a long story short, no.
Can I see them winning the East? Yes. I believe in Doc Rivers. I always have. I still believe in Joel Embiid much more than you do. I agree with everything you just said, but I have seen it come to pass where you can see what he is a nuclear weapon.
Yes.
When he is right, he is about as right as anybody in the game. He can go 40 and 20. He can make 3-point shots, which he takes too many, but he can make them.
Yes.
And he can make 80 to 85% of his free throws, which is extraordinary for a man that big.
Right.
You've got all of that operating if he ever gets somebody to push the right button for him to take it seriously on and off the court.
And how?
Okay, I'm hoping that Doc is that guy.
Okay.
All right, if anybody can get through to him, I believe that a man with Doc's credentials, with his deep background, with his rings and his
personable?
He is so personal. He can reach. And remember, he got the best year ever out of Tobias Harris. He can go 20 a game for you. Yes. He can go like 20-7
yes.
for you. That's what he did for Doc's Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at this, and then the other button he has to push is in Ben Simmons.
Yes.
He's another one. I'm not sure if he really cares about this or not.
He's a walking triple-double.
Oh, is he?
And he's a tremendous defensive player. He's first-team all-defense.
First-team all-defense. And I'm guessing Doc is thinking, we need a point guard, and it could be Ben Simmons. Would he take that role? But he has to be able to make a if you dare him to shoot that shot, you got to make a few of them.
You're right.
Or you're going to become a liability.
I mean, Doc was a point guard.
He was a point guard. So my point is, Al Horford is still there. Josh Richardson
is still there.
Okay, but they
Al Horford, why, Skip?
Okay, but Josh Richardson, Mike Scott, Shake Milton.
Yeah.
You know, they have pieces to puzzle that looked like it almost worked. I mean, in 18-19, they went 51-31, and who made the luckiest shot in the history of the playoffs?
Yeah.
Kawhi made that shot, right?
You know, but
that kept them.
You like the Sixers better when they had spacers. They had Bellinelli.
They did.
They had Ilyasova.
They were really good.
Now,
and then the Celtics blew them out in five games. Remember?
But now, Skip, you bring Al Horford and Ben Simmons. Where's the space? Mm. You got two guys that operate. You know, yeah, both guys can shoot threes, but Al Horford wants to play like a small. Wants to play like a small. You're big, bro.
Yep. But the telltale sign to me was Doc going to leap at this opportunity?
Yeah.
And he leapt.
Yes.
It happened in a day.
Well, I think the thing is, Skip, is that Doc didn't want to rebuild. Doc is not for the rebuild. Remember, he left. He got up out of Boston because they were looking to rebuild.
Yep.
And I think I think he still looks at New Orleans as a rebuild because they're young.
Yep.
I mean, Zion's going to be, what, 21?
I agree.
Zoe is, what, 23? Josh Hart is 25. Brandon Ingram is 24. Are they going to keep Holiday? Are they going to look to move Holiday? Somebody will give them something for Holiday, but it's going to be younger players.
Yep.
So you're going to be even more in a rebuild.
Okay. So obviously, I picked the Clippers to win it all this year. In large part, I kept telling you because they got Doc and you got
Are you picking
Frankie
them to win it this year?
The Celtics or the Clippers?
No, the Clippers.
I mean, I'm seeing the.
Are you going to pick a little bit of that here?
If it's Ty Lue, I might.
I'll pick my team. I'm going to record right now.
Okay.
My team.
So,
like
the point about what happened with Doc. I still love him as coach. I did not love what happened against the Nuggets. Something went really wrong. Just remember about the political chaos that was probably taking place behind the scenes.
Right.
You got, looking over one shoulder, the great Jerry West.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, great player, and he was a head coach
yes.
in this league, right? Looking over the other shoulder is Lawrence Frank, who has been a head coach in this league,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yep.
And to your right is Ty Lue, who's obviously won a ring as a head coach.
Right.
And overseeing the whole operation is a guy worth $70 billion who won't take no for an answer,
right.
who wants results now.
Right.
And they did.
And that's normally what happens when you have that kind of capital, Skip. You get results now. Well, I want to be at this place. Okay, Mr. Barber, we have the jet. We're ready to go.
Okay, so I don't know what was happening, but it looked like Doc got miffed about something and just folded his arms basically and said, that's enough.
Let me tell you what he got miffed about. Here's a guy that y'all talk about as the best player in basketball, and he goes 1-for-11 in the second half. He gives me 0 points in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And you talk about I got a second superstar who's been crashing and burning like an asteroid.
Yep.
That's what I can't understand. So I'm going to fold my arm because y'all tell me these guys are what y'all say they are. They should be able to figure this thing out because that's what my guy can do.
Oh, yeah. It's always about
you remember Skip Bayless? You told me how it's going to be so much confusion. You got Frankie V on the sideline. You got Lionel Hollins. And you got Jason Kidd. You got guys that have been coached. You're going to be looking over Frankie V's shoulder.
Yep.
Oh, Frankie V to kick back. Like, hey, guys, let me tell you what we're going to do. And look at old Doc.
Because the heavens opened and it broke perfectly for your Lakers.
We make, Skip, you don't get breaks. We make breaks.
Easiest path to the finals ever. In the history of the finals, there's been no easier path.
Look, you know what luck is, Skip? Luck is what happens when
Houston, Denver,
let me tell you what luck
Miami?
Is. Let me tell you what luck is. Luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity.
Mm.
If you're prepared, the opportunity presents itself. Okay, I'm prepared. Here's a bubble. We're going to get an opportunity chance to go compete for a title. You guys got Dallas.
Mm.
Mine is Porzingis. You should have lost in the first round. Had Porzingis not got thrown, if Kane Fitzgerald hadn't raised his ugly head in the first game and threw Porzingis out, you would have lost that game.
Mm.
And you had to run, so you should have lost in the first round and put you out your misery, so your hopes would have been dashed early on. Mm. But what happened to you is that your hopes got up because you really thought you were going to go somewhere. Mm. You're not going. There's no greater letdown, Skip. I know it used to happen to me all the time. Mm. I had an uncle with problems. He going to take us to the store. We're going to go get ice cream. I'm going to come get y'all on Sunday. And you know what happened? He never showed up.
Yep.
Man, nothing like a letdown. Mm. And you feel let down. Mm. And I love it.
Mm. Well, I'm rooting for Doc to go to the East and pull something off.
And on the least?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know my guy ran that.
Well,
ran everybody up out of the East.
Remember, the best player in basketball now resides in the East. His name is Kevin Durant.
And guess what? And guess where he ran? He ran because he didn't want no smoke.
Really?
He didn't want no smoke with us in the West. We ran him up out of the West.
Mm.
He had opportunity. Hold on, Skip. This is not Kevin Durant's first time becoming a free agent. So he could have easily came to the Knicks. He could have came to the Nets. Mm. He could have came. If he want to go head-to-head with Bron, he didn't want to go head-to-head. Mm. He wanted to link up with two other guys that had already been established, that had already won, and wanted to join a 73-9 team. He ain't want no smoke, and then got you fooled over there. You see that? He hit the shot right between his eyes.
He has owned LeBron James twice in the finals.
Don't do that,
back-to-back.
Don't do that.
No mercy.
Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving pulled the curtain back on the Nets' coaching strategy. Kyrie said, quote, "I don't really see us having a head coach." Durant agreed and said it would be more of a collaborative effort between the two all-stars, newly hired head coach Steve Nash, and assistant coach Jacques Vaughn. So, Shannon, how big of a problem do you have with this?
Good luck, Steve Nash. Skip Bayless, I sure hope he got an aspirin commercial. I'll take Advil gel caps.
Mm.
Steve Nash, you need to get you one. You might need some migraine medicine because they're about to give you one. Skip, who says this? I mean, the guy's been hired, 2 weeks? Steve Nash has been on the job 2 weeks, and they already said, we don't need no head coach. It's going to be a collab. Skip, collaborate for what? Oh, my goodness. You see, this is what happens when you're a great player and you think you're a leader. This is it on the full display. These two guys, Skip, are not leaders. They're great players, and they automatically think they should be should be leaders because they're great. Kevin Durant told you he didn't want to lead. Kevin Durant says, all I want to do, I just want to hoop. All that other leader stuff, they can lead. Now he want to coach. Do they understand that a coach's job is to lead, to become a leader of men? Not only just X's and O's, but you got to lead these men. And here we are talking, you know what, it might be Meek. Look here. If Kyrie leading, I ain't going. I don't want to go nowhere he going. I don't want no parts of that.
Mm.
KD, I'm good. Tremendous players, but I ain't following them. Oh, you know, it might be me one day. Who knows? It might be KD one day. It might be Jacques Vaughn. Steve, ain't nobody missing Steve Nash. He's the head coach.
Yep.
Good luck. That's your team. Those are your guys. Good luck with that one.
Mm-hmm. This is why I just might pick Doc Sixers to win the East next year. You said, how can you? Well, this is why. Obviously, the Nets will be talented enough next year to play the Clippers in the NBA Finals because the Clippers are going to win the West next year.
Oh, my God. Still on that trip.
But this is why next year's Nets could turn back into the Knots, as in not there when you need them to be there. This is so wrong on so many levels. This is even worse than saying Earth is flat.
Yes.
This is beyond Earth is flat.
Yes.
This is a first. I've never heard a star and co-signed by the other star saying, you know what? We don't even need a head coach because some days I can be the head coach and then other days you can be the head coach.
Right.
What are you talking about?
What is that?
Then you don't get it because somebody has to have final say, especially in a moment of crisis.
Yes.
Who's going to take the last shot? What player are we going to call? Or as simple as, are we going to practice tomorrow or not practice tomorrow?
The timeout situation.
Yeah.
The rotation, Skip. So in other words, Skip, what they're telling you, they're going to determine who plays and how much they play.
Apparently so.
Okay.
What's our strategy going to be tonight? Are we going to play zone or man-to-man? I don't know. Kyrie might come in some night and say, I feel like playing
zone.
So
what is Steve Nash and Jacques Vaughn? Why are they even there? They're getting free money. If Kyrie and KD going to do it, so why do they even need a coach?
So let's just say hypothetically that Doc had just been hired to coach this team. Do you think they would have said that?
No.
They wouldn't say that because they would have way too much respect for Doc, and they would know Doc would not sit still for any of those kind of comments.
Correct.
Instead, they went out and hired once again. We've seen it happen many times before and sometimes work out, but they hired a great player with zero head coaching experience.
Right.
So it's okay, they think, in their minds. And to you, me, both...
You know,
go ahead.
You know why, Skip? You know why they feel it's okay? You got the job because we said so.
Yeah, they do.
That's why you feel it's okay to talk. Skip, that's how. When someone feels that you're beholden to them, they'll talk to you any kind of way.
So this is why these two, they act like, to me, they're obviously supremely talented basketball players, and they have proven it at the highest level. Both of them have. But they operate like kids to me. They're like two kids who are besties, and they say, hey, what if we do this? Mm-hmm. And for some reason, Kevin follows Kyrie like crazy. Kyrie has proven, away from LeBron, not to be a great leader. Obviously, he thought he could be in Boston. But leading is not throwing all your teammates under the bus.
That's not driving leading. Over them in the bus.
Yes, that's what he did multiple times until he alienated the entire team and the entire franchise.
Correct.
And finally, it wouldn't work anymore, and Kyrie had to get up out of there.
Yes.
Right?
And he did the same thing in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Threw them under the bus.
He's already at it again. But he's besties with KD, and at the last second, he's saying, why don't we go to Brooklyn? Brooklyn? Kevin's like, this is the way I read it. It was like, okay, if that's what you want to do, why don't you want to go to the Knicks? They're the flagship of the, you know.
KD said, well, he didn't want the Knicks fans, he didn't want to be a savior. He just wanted to just go hoop.
Okay, but if they both went and saved the Knicks, would that not be historical? Would that not be a legacy move?
It's funny that KD, he just want to go hoop now. But he didn't want to go hoop earlier. He wanted to go link up, get them championships.
Yep.
Get that pressure. Because you know, Skip, the longer you go without a championship, the more the pressure mounts. Because at the end of the day, when you're a talent like Kevin Durant, you're judged by championship. Mm. That's just the way it is. I hate that it's become like that. It's either championship or you a bum, but that's the way it was. So now he just want to go hoop. That ain't what he wanted to do before. Mm. He wanted to go link up with Golden State, become overwhelming. Skip, I mean, everybody like... You saw it. Man, I don't even want to watch it now. Ain't nobody beating Golden State. Ain't nobody coming out of the West but Golden State. Mm. And it's going to be Golden and Cleveland just doesn't, and the Cavaliers just don't have enough. I mean, I don't even want to watch the finals. I don't even want to watch the finals. Now, all of a sudden, he just want to hoop. Mm. Man, stop it. Mm. I mean, I can't, like I said, with Steve Nash, good luck. I wish you the best, brother. I really do. But that's what happens, Skip. You have been with somebody, Skip. They help you get a job, and every time you turn around, man, you know I helped them get that job. Mm. Yeah, man, I helped them get, hey, tell them what I did for you. Well, you got to remind people what you did for me. Why the hell you do it? Mm.
Well, watch what happens this year. You think the drama king has drama? No. This is going to be the drama team.
That's your team. That's your team.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see how this Nets situation unfolds. But will Dak and Baker end up in a shootout on Sunday?
Oh, shake and bake.
No mercy.